Hello, this is Kinnap coming back to you for the 15th Metroplexity podcast, broadcasting or recording live from Con on the Cob in our luxurious Metroplexity suite. We have special guest Puyo. Say hello, Puyo. Do not. Okay, good. Last time we tried this, she said hello, Puyo. And I'm still laughing. It's kind of bad. Okay, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz. I am Kinnap's oft-mentioned but never heard from spouse.
We also have Glass.
Hello.
And Shrapnel.
Join our gang.
And what's the name of your gang?
Slagrunners.
Yep, there we go. Yep, you heard it here first. Join the Slagrunners. Actually, you probably have heard that before. But do what they say because they're on the podcast. All right. Well, we have a whole slew of questions to answer. Let's see, starting off actually appropriately enough with a question from Glass. When do I get to kill that smug pansy hawk and take his place within the third eye? I can't stand that guy.
I can't.
You heard that. He cannot stand that guy. Unfortunately, the answer is probably old townish, downtownish. So you got a while to wait on that one, sir. You'll have to deal with his smugness and his not glasses wearing third eye-ness for a while.
As long as it can be done, that's all I care about.
All right, we've got a bunch of questions from Magnifico, also known as Mag. The texture you try to melt the locks in the buried labs with the blowtorch hints that it'd make pretty good armor. Is there some way to do that now, or is that a teaser for future crafting? Yeah, totally teaser. Maybe not even something that you'll be able to get from them, but there will certainly be better materials in the future. Choosing to assist the doctors treating the lost son turns out to be an evil act, so the only morally scrupulous path appears to be freeing him immediately, but that apparently only needs a skill if you are helping Hawk. Is it really possible to deny yourself a skill reward? You can still get the salvage tools by choosing this path if you're not aligned with the third eye, or is there more sebaiting we need to do? Yeah, you can totally screw yourself out of that. There's really no, like, completely morally acceptable path through the Lost Sun quest. Either you're a douchebag up front, or you're a douchebag on the back, which sounds worse, really. But either way, it's a bad scene. I was a bit surprised to discover that seasonal resets seem to be ranked by day count, skill learned, then energy used. Admittedly, things are listed in that order. Yes, because they are sorted in that order. But years of Kingdom of the Loading speedruns have heavily conditioned my sense of what matters. Any other features of the seasonal reset contest rules that may run counter to my Kingdom of the Loading conditioning? Yeah, probably. But I have this terrible, terrible habit of just letting people spade things out, even things that I guess you could just say up front if you wanted to. The other main thing is more that the restrictions run more along the NetHack vein than the Kingdom of Loathing vein, which is to say, the restrictions are, if you go through the run without doing this thing, it'll be noted. But you can't just, like, check a box up front that will prevent you from doing that thing, which is how Kingdom of Loathing tends to run them. Is your character's moral standing tracked long-term and or used for anything other than healing for Mort of Sorrow and, coin effects from Unearthly Coin? It is tracked. It's not really used for anything right now, long term. But there's a bunch of stuff that links into that same system, yes. do you have a particular sound effect in mind for the Zalian blade technique? I think of the blade as making a shoink sound. I'm definitely on the schnicked sort of line as far as the sound effects goes. Let's open this one up to the studio audience. Do you have a sound effect for this alien blade technique? No? Matt?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with the schnicked.
Schnicked? Schnicked? Puya? Schnicked?
No opinion.
No opinion? Okay, it seems that schnicked has carried the house here. Alright, moving on. We've got some questions from Volz. Mr. Piper is responding to Magsum, which I don't have to worry about. What are the effects of megacorporatization, that's a wonderful word, on worldwide interrelations and culture? It's interesting that there are Russian descendants and Russian speakers in Metro Select, Mikhail and Boris. Is that a leftover from before the Orbital Wars or a more recent occurrence? It is a leftover from the Orbital Wars in the sense that a bunch of Midgard's actual production plants during that period were over in Russia. So there's sort of been some interchange back and forth. But in general, what are the effects of megacorporatization on worldwide interrelations and culture? If you are part of a corporation, it's much more important than being part of a nation. So if you're talking about Japan, you're talking about Zaibatsu. If you're talking about Zaibatsu, you're talking about Japan. If you're talking about Metroplex, you're talking about Midgard, and vice versa. There are a few places that are a little weirder, like Hong Kong. There's a couple of different major corps sort of vying for control there. But in general, the corps are where the power lies. Before the Orbital Wars, it was sort of the nation-state, and after there, it's basically the megacorps. Are those real trees on Metroplex U campus? And how did I forget to woodchip them into 40,000 additional snowman arms last Christmas? That's a fine question. And I would like to imagine that they're real trees, probably imported at great expense by Midgard, because that seems like the sort of thing that they do. Actually, okay, funny story time. So, I'm sitting here at the booth at Con at the Cob, and Glass and Shrapnel come up to the booth. And this is the first time I've seen Shrapnel, and I'm like, damn, Shrapnel looks, like, super familiar, right? And Shrapnel's like, wow, you look really familiar. And Liz is like, damn, you look really familiar. And so we're discussing, and it turns out that Shrapnel went to Bradley, which is the same school Liz and I went to, which is in some ways sort of a basis for Metroplex U, you know, just where I'm drawing my experience from, which is how I just jumped to this. And so we're talking back and forth, like, you know, oh, did you hang out with, you know, the music people? No, did you hang out? And so about halfway through, she asks,
no? You hang out with the engineering people.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally lived on the floor with all the engineering people. And she's all,
no, I lived on the floor with all the engineering people.
Yeah, and we realized that during our sophomore year. We actually lived, like, on the same floor. So when I talk about, like, sitting in the lounge on our floor and reading the horrible quantum mechanics book, that's, you know, in Metroplex U bookstore, yeah, that's actually on the same floor. So small fucking world. I will hold back from telling any other embarrassing stories about Shrapnel, for which I expect her to say nice things about me later. Does Midgard run the Metros system in its governmental capacity, or is it contracted out to a smaller corporation? Metros is actually the name of the corporation. They handle a lot of that sort of subway-y type systems for a lot of cities, like, you know, subways, trams, that sort of thing. Are there many places in the city inaccessible to the Metros, or will we eventually have other ways of traveling within Metroplex borders? Within the actual Metroplex itself, it's pretty much your golden with Metros. If you want to get out to the burbs, you're going to have to get a car. Wow, that's convenient. Are there still suburbs around Metroplex? If you can't figure that out from my answer to the last question, I have no hope for you. or, like, humanity as a whole. I'm sorry. From what little we've seen, it seems like the suburbs and the inner city have switched places in terms of demographics. That's a little unfair because Southside was kind of blanketed with, you know, terrible chemical radioactive waste during the incident, and all of the, you know, yuppies with their condos and so forth kind of left. Speaking of which, the population so far is quite homogenous, apart from the Ruskies. Are the districts with larger minority populations or the city population as a whole mostly white ex-Americans? I think Puyo can speak to this a little bit. Dude, can I make you draw people that aren't white? Because that sounds harder.
I can draw it, and then Kinect can tell me if I'm doing it right or wrong, and you guys can say I'm doing it right or wrong.
All right. Yeah, so for the most part, it's just kind of like, if I ask for a person from Puyo, I get a hot dude. That hot dude is typically white. I think that's just because it's easiest. For the most part, that's consistent with the vision of the city, though. It's kind of white bread, so to speak, which I guess is kind of a multi-layered statement about racial blah, 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 blah. But yeah, lots of white folk. Let's see. How well do you personally know Metroplex's location in present-day terms? Is it a currently existing city with a new name, located in a particular region, or more vague than that? I think of it as kind of an every city. I mean, it does have, like, a physical counterpart that's an inspiration for, like, how the geography is laid out, because I'm not going to, you know, just, like, draw a map and, you know, like,
what you didn't
come
see
up with
there
that.
Was Kinnack waving his arm around in the air with an imaginary paintbrush.
It's true. Actually, I should really have Liz for all of these, because I have all sorts of hilarious gesticulations that are really, like, They make it.
Like the gesture for gesticulations, which kind of looks like he's grabbing a giant set of boobs attached to his own chest.
Which, curiously, are not there. So they're kind of...
Indeed.
Yeah. It's all very strange. Donk Donk? Yes. Donk Donk indeed. Happy Yeti, we've got some questions from. Pretty solid set. There's nothing more we can do with Dr. Johnson now that we know how to get his recording? I guess that's a question. I do actually kind of plan to add a little hook there later, but the recording is kind of the main neat thing. And, you know, the killing him, the taking the claw, and the learning the technique, and the glasses, and all of that happy stuff. You know, the dismembering of, you know, a scientist who, you know, just wanted to do the best things for humanity. Guilt. Okay, yeah, he was a crazy fuck, sorry. I just wanted to turn the guilt crank a little bit while I was in there. Since last podcast, I've managed to actually grow fungus in my lungs. Huzzah! As for everyone else here, that huzzah was actually in the text, so you're aware. I was not just making fun of Happy Eddie. He was actually excited about the lungs. Any hints on what to do next?
I recommend seeing your doctor.
Yeah, see, Liz is full of good advice. It's true. See. Oh, there is some neat things that will kind of go on in there. I think that's the main interesting interaction. There's some mushroomy interactions, too. Okay, so we stopped at a candy store, and Liz convinced me to grab some Laffy Taffies. On the way out, yes, they are awful. Okay, alright, from Nicholas W., Sandy, Utah, when is homework not homework? When it is turned into the teacher...
That's not even a joke.
I'm
still homework because the teacher grades homework, right?
I can only imagine. This is my personal attempt to make this into a joke, is that he is implying that turning it into a teacher is actually like a sort of polymorph any object. They are transforming the homework physically into a teacher.
Thanks for inserting a punchline into that joke that didn't have one.
You can't go wrong with the second edition D&D punchline. Like, am I right?
You are right.
Let's see. Why did the skeleton cross the road?
Please don't say it to get to the other side.
No, it's actually to get to the body shop. That would have had a punchline, though. See? Well, that was entirely Liz's fault. I claim no responsibility.
You're a roach laughing over
here. Is it a tiny infernal roach?
It might be.
Oh, actually, speaking of which...
More story time!
So, we were... I read Earthworld, which is earthworld.com, a webcomic that used to be hosted on the same site as Order of the Stick at Giant in the Playground, which is where the Infernal Roaches come from, which are hilarious and provide little, like... out-of-character commentary on the various machinations of the forces of evil. Machinations being used very loosely there. And so I was, you know, refreshing Earthworld to see if it had updated, which, you know, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Been a little bit behind schedule. And so I'm refreshing on the hotel's wireless, so it's like refresh. And by the time it's refreshed, I think it should be about time to refresh again. So it was kind of this running process. But anyway, not updating. And I look in the program, and Rob Boulder, who's the actual writer for Earthworld, is listed as a musical act here at Con on the Cob. And I was kind of like, oh, well, that kind of explains that. Anyway, we're chilling at the booth, and he actually comes over, says hi, and I, of course, tell him that I read Earthworld and relate this story in hopefully a slightly more cogent manner. The story up to this point where I've met him, because after that he knows the story because he was there. Which I guess is deep at some level. Which is not a very deep plot. So, we chat and he agrees to plug us on the Earthworld feed, for which we apparently have received many more players. So if you're wondering, like, oh my god, it's like Kinnack has done incredible things at Con of Cob, we've gotten hundreds more players. Some of that was probably me. Most of that was probably him. But, I mean, there's the whole networking thing, which I'll take a little bit of credit for. So, yeah, be nice to the newbies. Try to help them along. Hopefully the new tutorial for combat has helped them out. Glass is nodding appreciatively. Like the tutorial?
Yeah, it's good.
Good, good. Yeah.
Definitely needed one.
Tried it out?
Well, Glass is my tutorial, so...
okay, that works out. So yeah, that was pretty cool. He's a really nice guy. And if you're curious, he said he would try to update, despite the fact that he's, like, you know, doing his whole performance thing. So yeah. Let's see. There we go. Was there any benefit or reward for getting your eye poked out by a woman made living flame last Halloween that we never found? It does some stuff. Let's see. The only path that really got your reward was saving the girl, and that was kind of narrow territory and it's pretty rare in Metroplexity. No, there's a fair... There were some hooks spread out there. I mean, the biggest hook being that, you know, the fact that everyone chose to, you know, fall down and worship affected the storyline going forward. The reward that you got there, if you're thinking about the Silver Eclipse, was actually bugged. It wasn't supposed to be given to nearly that many people. Unless you're thinking about something else. Which you might be. But Silver Eclipse was supposed to have, yeah, a different narrower sort of trigger. Speaking of Halloween, will we have any way of influencing events as a group for everyone else, not just individually, like last time? Yes. Okay. Are any of the people in treatment in the Buried Lab actually still victims of the incident itself, or has that become slowly a cover-up for Eclipse? There are still people getting sort of varying degrees of slags poisoning throughout places like Southside due to the sort of ongoing effects of the incident. Much lower level than you would see really in character. But there are still some people there who are legitimately being poisoned rather than, you know, taking poisons. Reading the description of the lowest match effect, it seems like it would give you an increased chance of etheric encounters, a question mark. Is that like a Canadian A or like a Minnesotan A? Let me look at the actual effect here. This is the boring part of the podcast where everyone in the raptly intense studio audience stares at me while I look at something in the database.
I'm going to open candy because I've been waiting for it and I make a lot of noise doing it and I'm done. I'll shut up now.
Yeah, please, you should tell a funny story instead. Well, I'm looking up something.
Turns out when you sit at a booth all day, and the only thing you have to eat is the bowl of candy that you're trying to give away to get people to come to your booth, and then you go to the bar and have a Long Island iced tea, you get very drunk very quickly.
It was delicious. I finished half of it. I am proud of myself.
That was a half very, very liberally.
Well, to be honest, it was more like a third, really.
Okay.
You can still feel proud of yourself, so I'll cry. All right.
Is This is reading.
This is reading. Yeah, that does sound a lot like it would increase the chance of etheric encounters. I mean, alright. Well, I don't have exactly the same effect as burning vision. Okay, I'll think about that. Maybe I'll just have to change the description. Let's see. Okay. Al. Al says, hi, Puyo!
Hi!
Is there going to be an unearthly item for October? Maybe. There will either be an unearthly item for October or November. I have the art for it already, because Puyo rules.
Woohoo!
So, it is kind of tied into the Halloween content, but last year's November unearthly item was tied into the Halloween content, which is the Crystal Flame, for those of you who may not have any idea what I'm talking about. I may or may not have time, so we'll see. Why did you decide not to let us into the lake if David is dead? Can't we still jump down to hold the slime? No. I guess... To answer the first question, why did you decide to not let us into the lake if David is dead? For the same reason that all of the other survivors' quest chunks are cut off, if their proponents don't show up. I mean, you can't do any of Lo's stuff if, you know, you manage to get Lo killed. You can't, you can kind of follow Dr. Amundsen's path, because Hell takes it over for her. So I guess David and Lo are the only two real examples that are like that, because you still need to end up having two paths if you kill everyone except for Hell. In which case, you're a jerk, by the way, because you sent Lo off to die. Jerk. But the reward for David's quest, to a large extent, is also the content that it opens. I mean... You can start David's quest and then, you know, bail on it or whatever. But that's... The content there is as much the point as the quest itself. Because it's this long, you know, arduous sort of... Oh, Glass is looking at me weird because he hasn't done the Survivor's Quest yet. But... Oh, sorry. I just, you know, crushing Liz's feet is cool. In our spacious Metroplexity suite / thing. Anyway. It's not... Yeah. I just really wanted to keep that content tied to the individual survivors. So if you don't save David, you don't get his content. If you don't save Lo, or, you know, rather, send Lo off to his doom, you don't get Lo's content. Same sort of thing. And then the other ones have really kind of less content tied to them, for that reason. Let's see. On the leaderboards, there are symbols for different stuff achieved in run, like completing Hell's or Lo's quests. How many different achievements are there? I don't know, like 15, maybe 20-ish. There's a bunch. You mentioned there's an undiscovered thing with the Midgard player, which was released with the Survivor's Quest. Does that have something to do with the Fang PDA or the Y-Force? Nope. Do tracking ships do anything yet? I mean, other than salvage into all sorts of usable stuff, not that I'm aware of. Why are there so many hearts in the game?
That sounds like a question I'd expect to hear from a Legend of Zelda game.
Why are there so many hearts? Yeah.
I don't remember drawing any.
Well,
they're talking about a gamer classification, aren't they?
No, I think what they're talking about there is the trash golem heart.
Oh!
And then we've got, like, some actual hearty hearts, too, which you did draw, regardless of whether you remember them or not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was with the second ghoul quest content, with all, like, the more chains and hooks and ghouls and... A bunch of different maws, like some black stone stuff.
I remember those.
Apparently hearts just aren't gruesome enough for Puyo. So, we're sitting in the booth. And, I'm requesting that Puyo draw me something. Because, you know, that's what I do. And it's like, oh, I need to draw this. And there's like a 20 by 20 and 50 by 50. It's like, can I add blood to this? And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, for the 50 by 50, you know, for the technique. And, like, I look back, and it's just like, blood. Like, just like, everywhere. Like, it's like 50 by 50 pixels. It's like, probably like, 45 by 45 of them are just like, blood.
You get a request for 50s and 25s, and when it usually says the 50s can have blood on it, I usually put blood on it. Why not?
So, now you know why Power Strike looks like that hammer. Just, like, totally brains some dude. As much fun as I was explaining, I think this is fantastic.
That was as much fun as he's making of Puyo. He thinks this is fantastic. He's currently eating a green Laffy Taffy.
I don't even like green Laffy Taffies. But I'm eating them anyway. So that I can punish you. I tore one of the jokes. When does a doctor get mad? Hey, this is kind
of
relevant.
He runs out of patience.
Oh my... Wow. Terrible. Oh, God.
Right?
Yes, you were right.
Wow.
You were right.
Wrong.
Yeah. Shrapnel nailed that one. Oh, God. That was... Ow.
Was that the one you sent into Laffy Taffy and printed on the wrapper?
That's how I got through college.
Let's see, that was from Carrie B. in Heber, Utah. Apparently lots of kids from Utah.
What the hell else are you going
to
do?
That's a fine question, no offense to anyone from Utah, but I guess you are kind of playing an online role-playing game, listening to me talk rather than doing something else in Utah, so yeah. Oh, but yeah, like, why are there so many hearts in game? I mean, there's some hearts that are just like, you know, like, thump, 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 hearts. But the rest of them sort of on the trash golem living sludge sort of side of things. I blame entirely on chemistry, because I like making chemistry combines with them, and the electronic ones off the trash golem. So if you kind of, like, burrow back down to the roots of that, you've got, like, the trash golem heart, the, Petrol Heart, with Boris. And then, like, I think just one other heart. The, that Glass is giving me a weird look, because he hasn't found it yet, because it's in the Survivor's Quest. And, the Stone Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you remember the fact that I didn't even ask you to draw it as stone. I was just like, give me a heart.
I think I did do a Stone Heart, though, didn't I?
I mean, you did, but I don't think I requested it for you. Maybe I requested, like, a crystal heart for me at some point?
Maybe.
Maybe, okay. I guess we'll find out. any hints for what the glows with the mysterious light enchantment does? Makes you glow. More of it makes you glow brighter. I think that's it. Any word on the status of custom avatars? Well, Puyo, what's the word on the status of custom avatars?
I need to move where Kinect lives, and, yeah, we can start on it, and I've been trying to move since May. I am sad.
So if anybody wants to write letters to the district manager of the Starbucks in Peoria, Illinois, and tell her to transfer Puyo to Columbus, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's become a sort of, like, never-ending saga of despair. Most of it on Puyo's side, because Puyo has to live in Peoria, fucking Illinois. Which, by the way, is the official name of the town, if anyone's curious. Everyone just calls it Peoria for short.
Caterpillar, Illinois.
It's so true. I think I've mentioned before that I've based Midgard's relationship with Metroplex on the relationship of a company. With a town. That was definitely Caterpillar in Peoria. I actually am reworking for Caterpillar, so I can't say terrible things about them, but they definitely basically own the city of Peoria. And, like, you will be talking, like, to people in Peoria, and it's not like, oh, do you work with Caterpillar? It's like, oh, what division do you work with, right? It's like, oh, you're an engineer. Like, are you with Track-Type Tractors? Are you with, you know, like, motor graders? You know, do you work on generators? And they're like, oh no, I work on control consoles for the tractors. And you're like, oh, that's... And then, like, maybe, like, once, like, in your entire time that you're in Peoria, like, this is actually literally the case, like, once. It's like, oh, actually, I work with a, you know, I don't work with Cat. And it's, you're like, wait, like, there's another company? Like, I thought that there was just, like, Caterpillar and, like, Bradley. And apparently that's not true. I found that very confusing. Shrapnel knows this is true. Back me up.
It's true.
Yes, thank you. Does the fact that there is gang scuba gear and shark hijackets, you can just, like, plug your fingers in your ears glass, mean that there will be an underwater PvP zone someday? Will we ever see true scuba gear that lets us stay underwater indefinitely? You could already stay underwater indefinitely. Like, with the rebreather? Maybe there's something more to that question. It would not entirely surprise me if there's an underwater gang warfare zone at some point.
That's ridiculous.
You like the underwater stuff once you get there, Glass. There's a lot of awesomeness. You can back me up with your travel.
That's the part I'm waiting for you to get to, so you can spend long evenings talking about it.
It came out really well. I drew it way back when, but I like drawing it.
Yeah, the art for that's actually really impressive. Anyway, the hack, the Halloween server and check who's turned in an Emerald Gift Ticket. It's held on a different server, so no. I mean, I guess I could add that feature. Not sure how helpful it would be. I might do that. Is there any chance the organizer girl from last year will come back to life? Sure, she was a bit of a gold digger, but I think we had something special going on. I miss her. I'm sorry, this is from, I'm going to mispronounce this, DeJalorian? I guess it's kind of like DeLorean with the J in there, so we'll just say Jalorian. Does that sound good for everybody? Okay. Alright. Jalorian. Followed by Edit. Wait a second. Is she Emily? Yes. Yes. Or at least, like, that's what everyone wants you to think. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. The fact that Emily Davers' art is exactly the same and backstory references events which happened to the student organizer for last year is not at all coincidental. Supposed from this Kinnack guy talking about how we'll have a live broadcast from Con and Cobb. I don't know what the hell he's going on about. Then we've got a question from TechRunner. Are we still missing something from the Black Sketchbook quest? Yes. I don't think we found a use for the Grizzly Crown of Teeth. Haven't you? Do you not have that yet?
Pause while we look this up.
Yeah, Let me, if you knew what I was searching for on the wiki, it might help. I don't know, though. Let's see. Nope, we haven't found it yet. So yeah, there's a crown.
Stop, chew, swallow. This is a cherry airhead.
Oh, it's so delicious. So, we went out to this Chinese place because we'd been like, okay, so, back here.
Story time!
See, Liz thinks this is funny, but all of you who listen, Glass can back me up here, I know, for sure. This is just kind of how my podcast go. And Glass is beating the bed, because apparently it sounded like I was going to fucking reach through the headset and strangle some bitches last podcast.
That is at least partially my fault, I apologize.
Oh, yeah, Liz walked in with a hat, like, halfway recorded, and, like, I fucked up trying to delete stuff. And just kind of, like, cleared the whole thing. I was like, fuck! And it felt like somebody had punched me in the jaw because I just had my tooth out. And now I'm eating Airheads, which probably isn't necessarily great for the lack of tooth.
It's delicious.
And they are, in fact, delicious. Okay. So, story time. We're at Cotton the Cob, which is held in the Clarion, I guess? Okay. One of the two Clarions in Hudson, Ohio. After I looked up, you know, the Clarion in Hudson, Ohio, and found only one on the GPS and sent us to the wrong Clarion. We eventually found that there was a new Clarion in this giant cluster of new construction. And to escape the Clarion, you need to head, like,
south
for, like, what? Like
2 miles.
Two miles? Okay. And then turn around and head back north, like, that 2 miles and then, like, a bit more to get, like, out.
Okay, so to get to Hudson, Ohio, you go south 2 miles, and then you go east for about 3 miles, and then you're in Hudson.
Okay.
But getting back is way more fun.
Okay. What Liz said. Because I don't do directions. Or like driving. Okay. So, this has created this interesting sort of insular atmosphere in the con. Because, like, leaving is this giant pain. So you're just eating at, like, the hotel restaurant, which is Cruisers, something like that?
Cruisers, yeah.
Cruisers.
If you like burgers,
don't
you might be
there.
Okay.
Were they running out of beverages yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, so they ran out of orange juice. Do you have apple juice?
Yeah, they ran out of lemonade and sour mix, which led to the Long Island iced tea that totally trashed Korea.
I was not supposed to drink that because the last time I finished that, I kind of died. And it's not a pretty story, so I'll stop now.
I heart Korea. Okay, I need, like, a shirt that's like, I heard Puya. Anyway. But so, aside from the fact that it feels like people should start disappearing, we should have, like, a Lovecraftian sort of murder mystery type encounter, and then, like, find the horrible tentacled thing, like, that's crawling through the air ducts that, you know, maybe shoot it, maybe, like, set it on fire. Probably set it on fire. They're usually immune to bullets.
Is that why they keep sending the children at the con to explore the entire hotel?
Brilliant! See, Shrapnel understands, I think. There's great wisdom here. Okay. So we've been trapped here. Eating cruisers. Sort of staring ominously at people's limbs. And, so we decide to escape and get out to this Chinese place. And it takes, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours? What did we decide on?
That took about 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, to, like, get our food. Because...
No, it only took us about an hour and 45 minutes, an hour and, you know, 2 hours to get our food.
Okay. So, well, I'm sure. It took us about as long to eat as it would take us at, like, a fondue restaurant. Like, three-course fondue. And then... But across the street, there was a Hershey's, like, ice cream place. And we walked in and we were like, ice cream! Well, actually, Puyo... Thank you, Puyo. There's absolutely sound of Puyo being anywhere near ice cream. Like, in the city of Columbus, because we have the best goddamn ice cream on the planet.
Salted caramel, it's good.
What she said. That is what she said. So, we ended up picking up a giant pile of candy instead, once we realized that it was a store entirely filled with candy. I'm sure that the story had a point. Possibly, it was actually all a giant ruse to distract you from the fact that children are being sacrificed to the things in the air vents.
Actually, I think you started telling that story to explain why you're eating an airhead.
Oh! Oh, I hope that was adequately explained. Because I do like airheads. And they had them at the Hershey shop across the street from the Chinese place. That took like 2 hours to get us food. Nice wait staff, though. Aside from the like whole like not giving us food thing. Okay. Llama Man, hey, for Puyo. Have you thought about inking your drawings for the game and or having Kinnick having them sent to someone to ink them? Inking, yes, no.
I can ink.
She can ink. Or have you intentionally gone for the pencil sketch look for all the artist's conscious decision?
Pencil sketch just because it's a lot easier for me and I'm surprised anyone even noticed because like, hey, this kind of looks better than me trying to draw on the tablet. So that's why I just kind of switched over to... The 100x100 ones, just drawing it, scanning it, and putting it in. But if it looks too sketchy, I might ink them. It's up to Kinect, but so far he hasn't really rejected anything, so that's how it goes. He's very, very nice so far. I don't think I've ever got a reject before. I did get something like, though this isn't what I was thinking, but it was just me completely like misunderstanding him. But yeah, so...
Yeah, I don't often tell Puya that she's doing a terrible job or anything. Because that would be a lie. I don't like lying to Puya. It's against company policy. Metroplex C Games, LLC, has strict policy against lying to the employee. Or independent contractor, as the case may be. Which reminds me that I need to do some paperwork. Okay. Any questions from the peanut gallery? Seeing as how we have a peanut gallery, which is kind of awesome.
Oh, I have not a question, but a comment.
Hey!
So, my secret role for Metroplexity, being a person who's married to Kinect and gets to watch him plugging away at the computer at all hours, is I kind of serve as his marketing director. And so I decided this weekend that it was really kind of ridiculously absurd that there has not been a Facebook page for Metroplexity, and so while sitting at the booth trying not to talk to the anime fan, I've set up a Facebook page for Metroplexity. At this point, we're still a little small to have a short name. Facebook requires that you have 25 people liking your page before they'll let you get a short name. So what you need to do right now is go to Facebook.com and search for Metroplexity. This is very complicated, I know. And it'll pop up. And give us a like and share it on your profile and tell your friends about it. And as soon as we get 500 people, we can get a short name, and then it'll be Facebook.com/Metroplexity. But don't do that yet, because that doesn't work yet.
It's also linked from the dev blog. If you go there, the most recent post in the dev blog will have a little button, and you can just click the button. Because technology! Allergy. Thank you, Liz. I had forgotten to mention that. This is Liz being awesome and keeping me A, sane, and B, not totally failing at marketing, because she's the best spouse ever. Also, totally got all of the hearts in Ocarina of Time this playthrough.
And this wouldn't have happened if Kinect were not also the best spouse. I'm sorry if we sound really, like, cheesy and lovey-dovey here. But I want to see if your spouse will sit next to you and read you walkthroughs and FAQs while you're playing a game so that you can get all of the hard pieces. Because I would not have been able to have the patience to find them all without that.
True. I am like the walking cheat guide, which is really funny because when she's replaying these games, like Ocarina, where we've actually done this before, it'll be like, oh yeah, I totally remember, like, there's this Skullchula on, like, the back of the building, and, like, oh, it was the bugs and the soft patches of soil. It's like, oh, you can put the bugs in the soft patches of soil that you put the beans in. They all have gold Skullchulas in them. And she was like, what the hell are you talking about? But I remembered it from the last time that we had gone through this sort of process. Okay. Peanut Gallery?
I am obeying Liz right now.
See? Do what shrapnel does. Glass really seems like he should have a question.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I've always got questions I'm throwing at you that you so nimbly dodge and then backflip with some sort of alliteration that makes me want to ask more questions. But I know it's futile. So. I think I'll just go to sleep tonight and, you know, dream on more questions to ask you that you won't answer. No, we'll start again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I guess you don't really have to, like, ask me questions. I kind of tell you to do art,
it's
and I receive art.
Yeah, can you draw this? Like, okay, I'll draw it. If you find yourself in need of an I Heart Puyo t-shirt, they'll be available in the Cafe Press store soon.
Liz is terrifying and fantastic. Okay. Well, hope everyone has enjoyed our experimental podcastrophy from the room, I guess it's 407 at the
Clarion.
I was trying to call it the Clariot, and it's clearly incorrect.
You should rename it
to the Clariot. There we go. Here in Hudson, Ohio, for Con and Cob. Yeah, having a good time getting all sorts of new players. So definitely roaring success. And lots of fun with the podcast thing. I should probably talk a little bit about Halloween, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. So we've got Halloween coming up. Everybody, with the possible exception of Puyo and Liz, who don't log in that often, has seen the ongoing contest for the university doing their fundraising, getting, you know, scratch-off codes.
Scratch-off cards?
they're in-game scratch-off cards.
Not nearly as fun. You get to like have the virtual coin and scratch off?
And that would be awesome, but that's work. Okay. It just tells you scratched them off.
Damn.
It's sort of like eating. It just tells you you eat. You don't have to like click on the burger to make bites disappear. I have no plans to include an eating minigame. Okay, so we got that. And there are tickets being distributed. And as I mentioned, there will be other availability with tickets with Phase 2, this time it's not Phase 1, I guess, which will look a little bit familiar to the folks who worked on Halloween last year. There's a lot more going on. Same sort of principles, though. Shared environment. Sandbox for everybody. And then how that plays out is how it'll come out in... for Halloween proper. So we might see, you know, another giant clusterfuck of death and destruction for Halloween. We might see a nice, pleasant Halloween party. I've got some pretty friggin' sweet art either way. I've got some neat surprises in store. I hope you liked my evil laugh there. I've been working on my ha-ha's.
Hey, what do the hippies wear again?
not hippies, love. Hipsters. they wear horn-rimmed glasses. Is that
yes, thank really
good? Thank you. Okay. Apparently, we have decided that horn-rimmed glasses are the funniest thing ever. But only when you get the horn-rimmed glasses. Horn.
Yes, there you go.
You have to sound either like a Klingon or like a German. So we'll have the, and so in the middle process there, the phase two, there will be some more chances to get tickets for people. So that'll be pretty cool. And there's a lot of deeply choicey stuff going on there. I'm thinking of it'll spread its tendrils, I think, a little further into the rest of the university than you saw last year, where it was very self-contained. Still largely self-contained, so hopefully it won't dick over people who are trying to reset too much. But I guess that doesn't bother me too much. So we'll see how that goes. I'm pretty excited about it. And then we'll have the actual Halloween event, obviously, you know, on Halloween. Did that, like, remotely clarify anything? I just want to make sure that was as unhelpful as possible.
That's a pretty redundant summary, yeah.
Awesome. Eh? Totally unhelpful?
I'm still working on Liz's instructions. This internet is slow.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But
so,
I'm in Span 13.
Woo!
Yay!
Traveling off GW! Okay, so... I think that's it with your unhelpful Halloween clarification. I think we're good to go. There will be more with Emily and more with the frat boy, who doesn't have a name yet, but I guess might get a name before the end of Halloween. I guess that depends how much character development he gets. I guess, actually, he's gotten a lot of character development. I just kind of, like, was writing his stuff, and it just kind of ballooned into him actually having, like, a backstory and, like, a character, which is kind of weird. Like, I never really expected, like, you know, to have a frat boy with, like, character. Alright. Well, thanks for listening, thanks for playing, and thanks for donating, obviously, and getting us to Con in the Comp to get some more players. And I hope that in the future I'll be able to see some more of you in person. Maybe hit some more cons, maybe get some more players, and see where this leads us. Thanks, have a good one.